Toxic Tony. Carl the Curmudgeon. These sound like terrible characters in a terrible Avengers movie. But what they are representatives of difficult people that we deal with in our life. Today on the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast, we're going to continue our discussion about how to deal with difficult people. Let's get going. Welcome to the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast. My name is Paul Moores, and I'll be your host every month. We're very excited to release new content every month and thankful that you would take time out of your schedule to listen. We would really appreciate it if you could rate and review the podcast on your podcast app because it really does help people find us and connect with us. I'm so glad to have Pastor Darren Latham with us. He's the lead pastor of Broadway Church in Vancouver, BC, and he'll be our main guest throughout this podcast. And today we're going to be into part two of our discussion about how to deal with difficult people. Now, if you did not hear part one of this discussion, I'd really encourage you to pause this, to go back and to listen to the first part of our discussion about how to deal with difficult people, because it was there that we defined what is and what is not a difficult person. We said that a difficult person is not necessarily someone who's bad or someone who's wrong. They may be very good people, and they may have things to say that are very important. We said a difficult person is the classic squeaky wheel, a person who sometimes makes us maybe feel uncomfortable, and someone who refuses to fall in line and agree with everything we say or do. So as we continue this discussion over the next couple of months, we are going to outline four different types of difficult people. We are going to talk about two this month and two next month. So let's parachute into our discussion about how to deal with difficult people. That's great. And four types of different difficult people gives us some sort of framework to recognize and maybe deal with best practices or how we should behave or how we should feel when we are interacting with these people, first of all. So why don't we begin with the first difficult person who, according to our notes, you have outlined, and I'm hoping I'm never going to fall into this category because this is a nasty name. The first one is Toxic Tony.
Yeah, Toxic Tony. Let's start at the bottom of the barrel.
Okay.
Toxic Tony, he has a disagreement with you. So let's think of who's a classic Toxic Tony. It's someone who has a disagreement with you, or he disagrees with your style or your vision for the organization. And now what makes Tony toxic is not that he disagrees with you. We've already learned that. We've established that. What makes Tony toxic is how he displays and how he communicates his disagreement with you. Now, remember, a few minutes ago, we said that not all difficult people are bad. Well, Tony is the exception to that rule.
Okay.
He is bad. He has earned the nickname Toxic Tony. So he's not just sour. He's poisonous, this guy. He's malicious. He's vindictive. He's resentful. He spreads gossip. He spreads slander. He often exaggerates. So he is a very difficult person to deal with. I remember many, many years ago now, decades ago, the first place where I was given the role of leading. There was an individual, an elderly gentleman there, and he was toxic. And I had heard that he was sort of toxic, but I thought, well, someone else's toxicity isn't necessarily going to be my toxicity. Maybe he just had a bad reaction to other people. So I was going to do my best to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. And this is in a church context now, and this is back when we used to call people forward to come to the front of the church and pray during the church service.
Sure.
And so I thought to myself, I'm going to give Tony an opportunity to stand and pray in front of everyone. I'm going to honor him in front of everyone.
You were trying to believe the best about him and give him an opportunity to prove that he was not as toxic as his reputation.
Absolutely.
Him.
I was going to send out an olive branch and say, hey, Tony, I'm on your team and I'm honoring you here. And so I took that step out. And so in the service, I said, I'm going to ask Tony to make his way to the front and lead us in prayer here. And he stood there in front of the congregation of hundreds of people and he shook his head no. He just,
wow.
No. And it was awkward.
Awkward.
It was awkward. It's like, okay. And in my mind, I thought, okay, you're never going to do that to me twice. But that's a classic Toxic Tony thing. So I went to his home later that week and sat down with him and his wife and had a really frank conversation with him, which kind of leads us into, so how do you respond to a toxic Tony?
Tell us how we can respond to those in our life.
A couple quick points. First of all, I'd say you should respond directly, respectfully, but firmly to their words and actions. So I've learned over the years, you need to hold these individuals accountable for their actions. And so that's what I did. That first week after he did this, I made an appointment. I went to their home and I said, here's what I've heard, Tony. I've heard that you don't think I should be the leader here. And he said, that's right. I didn't vote for you. Don't think you should be the leader. And I said, well, I respectfully disagree with you. And apparently the majority of the congregation membership didn't agree with you. And apparently God didn't agree with you if we believe he's sovereign. So Tony, I'm asking you to respect my role. And I just want you to know that I'm willing to work with you and listen to you. But I am the leader here. And I'm here to serve you and help you in any way I can. So you respond directly, respectfully, firmly, and you hold them accountable. And I said to him, Tony, you will never do again what you did this past week. I just want you to know that was not going to happen again. And how I assured it wasn't going to happen again was I would never put him in the position to be able to do that again.
Yes.
Also, I would say, secondly, clearly communicate your perspective. So the history of how or why things are the way they are. So often, again, as leaders, a lot of the conflict and confrontation comes out of changes that we're seeking to make or improvements or things that we've done that the toxic Tonys are reacting to. Rarely are they proactive. They're often reactive. So you have said something, you've done something that they don't like. And so, again, hold them accountable. Interact with them directly and clearly communicate your perspective. You can say, okay, here's Tony. Here's the situation that I was brought into. Here's the history of how we got to where we are, as far as I understand it, Tony. And here's the way things are right now and why we're seeking to adjust things. So be very clear in your communication with them. Thirdly, I would say clearly communicate your openness to interact with them. So do a lot of listening. Listen to their perspective. Ask a lot of clarifying questions. So again, I'm not going there to tell him what to do so much as I'm saying, okay, Tony, what did you mean by that? And then he says something. I'll say, okay, where did you hear that? Who told you that? Do your best to clearly communicate your openness to interact and hear their perspective. And I also, by the way, after I meet with them, I would send them an email and say, now, here's what we talked about today. Thank you for our gathering. Thank you for meeting with me. We discussed X, Y, Z. It's just always good to have a clear, you know, record of your communication with them. And then once you've clearly and confidently categorized Tony as toxic, and you can't do that after the first meeting, but once you have confidently categorized this gentleman as toxic, don't waste any unnecessary emotional effort worrying about them or chasing after them. I have a slogan, you choose who you lose. Mm. And, you know, sometimes you just recognize if I do X, then they'll leave. If I do Y, then they'll leave. If I don't do X, then they're, you know, no matter what you do, people are going to leave, are going to be upset with you. So sometimes you just have to choose who you lose. You have to make those choices. And the toxic Tonys are people that I'm prepared to lose.
Okay.
So don't waste a lot of effort trying to convert them.
I want to circle back and maybe go back a little off notes here, because as you're telling this story about the toxic Tony you described, if I have the timeline in my mind of Darren Lathan's life correct, you were not an experienced leader at that point as you are now. We are putting together this podcast.
Yeah.
And one of the things is we're drawing on the experiences that you've had in leadership. But if I'm correct, that experience probably was more on the front end of your leadership. We're not talking about something that can only be implemented by an experienced, seasoned leader, but these principles are something that anyone can implement. Why don't you speak to that for a moment?
That's a very good point. In fact, that was part of the issue with Tony. I was 26 years old.
Wow.
And I was the first church I'd been the leader in. And so I could understand, that's why I say I could understand his fear. Here was the church of several hundred people. We had a staff of six, and I was the youngest pastor on staff, but I was the lead pastor. And so he probably thought, understandably, that that congregation had just gone off the rails, and what were they doing? So I had an understanding of that. That's why I wanted to be patient with them. But his reaction to that was way, way out of line, and he proved himself toxic. So yes, this is something that that the earlier in your life you can learn to recognize these people, you save yourself a lot of grief.
Anything else you'd want to add to the definition, the sketch of Toxic Tony that we are drawing here?
Yeah. So think of Toxic Tony as a continuum. On one end of the spectrum, there's just, you know, he's toxic and he's dangerous. But then there's the extreme Toxic Tonys, the Toxic Tony on steroids.
Okay.
And these are ones that demand really special treatment. So it's more than a matter of just recording all of your meetings with them. When you have the extreme level Toxic Tonys, these are the ones that who say threaten legal action.
Okay.
And I've had to deal with these a couple times over the years, or they refuse to respect or cooperate with the authority in your organization with the structure. So these are individuals where sometimes you need to seek legal counsel about how to interact with them, how to respond to them. If they're even hinting at threatening legal action, I immediately go to our lawyer and say, here's what they said, here's what they're threatening, how do I respond? And that's where you need to be very careful about what you write, what you say. And these are the individuals that you, once you've labeled them as extreme, you never meet with them alone. Okay. Never meet with them alone. You always have someone else in the meeting with you, always document the meetings. And I would use your leadership structure, maybe your board as a shield, as an umbrella there, and never act outside of that umbrella. Always use them to protect you and to keep you accountable and to keep Tony accountable.
Now, in the Toxic Tonys I've dealt with in my life, that last point is very wise because not only does it protect me, it helps give me perspective because sometimes my emotions can get tied up and I can respond in anger or I can lash out and I don't want to be that in that position as the leader either. And so having another person there can help not only protect you, but maybe give you some perspective on how you are also coming off in the discussion.
That's very wise and perceptive, Paul, because there are times when, yeah, Tony is toxic, but there are times when someone else can come on and say, you know, Darren, yeah, he's toxic, but you're inciting some toxicity here and you're spewing a little venom yourself, Darren. So you need to dial it down, you need to back off because sometimes we can kind of justify our righteous indignation and how we're dealing with Tony. And sometimes I can be a little off the rails in my response. So yeah, that's very wise of you. Another reason to bring others in is to kind of tone down your response. And so it's just not personal. Suddenly it becomes more organizational. Tony's responding to the organization more than just you.
So in our discussion about difficult people, we've talked about Toxic Tony. We're going to move from what you described as the worst scenario to number two. We're calling him Carl the Curmudgeon. Why don't you talk a little bit about Carl the Curmudgeon?
Carl the Curmudgeon is someone who can look like Toxic Tony on the surface.
So he has some similar characteristics. He might be of the similar feel, generation,
exactly.
Background.
Exactly. Think in these terms. What's the difference between a grizzly bear and a teddy bear?
Okay.
Both are bears on the outside, mm-hmm. but it's the inside that kind of makes the difference. And Toxic Tony is the grizzly bear, and Carl the Curmudgeon often is a teddy bear. But he, on the surface, he's prickly, and you know he has all the classic earmarks of a difficult person. He stirs you up. He's poking at you. He's calling you on the carpet, whatever. But the difference is when you start to interact with them, you see that they're actually different. They're both prickly on the outside, but I've learned over the years that Carl the Curmudgeons are more harmless on the inside, and at least they can be reasoned with. Okay. So Toxic Tony, for example, he follows up your meeting by maintaining his disagreement and increasing his toxicity.
Oh.
That's Toxic Tony. Carl the Curmudgeon follows up your meeting by maintaining his right to disagree, but by recognizing the need for peace and unity and accountability for his both of your attitudes. So you see the difference.
Sure.
Neither of them walk away from the meeting saying, yes, you're right and I'm wrong. Both walk away simply still saying, I think I'm right and I still think you're wrong, Darren. But their attitudes are different. Toxic Tony is saying, and you're wrong, and I'm going to nail you to the wall. And Carl the Curmudgeon says, I still think you're wrong, but I'm willing to agree to disagree and work with you, you know, to continue. So, and something I've also learned is Carl the Curmudgeon is often a spokesperson for a larger group. Because he's a curmudgeon, he's not afraid to speak his mind. So often he can act as a magnet to other curmudgeons or other people who are upset about the same thing of which he's upset, that he's upset about, I should say. And so I've learned to not ignore the Carl the curmudgeons, because where there's one Carl, I'll use a terrible analogy. Carl's like a cockroach. If there's one, there's more than one.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. And so I've learned that a lot of other curmudgeons probably gather around Carl. So I kind of use Carl as a spokesperson of the group and use them as my voice into that group. You'd be wise to tap into Carl the curmudgeons, because you can use Carl to communicate to these folks who are afraid to come to you personally.
So when a Carl the curmudgeon speaks to you, he represents a group of people. You understand that if one person is coming to talk to me about that, there are several others that feel that way, a group of people.
Absolutely. I'd be wise to think that way. And even if I'm exaggerating it in my mind, I'm thinking there's more than there are, that's okay too. I'd rather exaggerate it than minimize it.
So how should we respond to the Carl the curmudgeons that we find in our world or in our leadership?
So here's a main difference between Carl and Tony. With Carl, I befriend them. Again, with Tony, I'm not trying to chase him. He's toxic. But with Carl, I realize he has a good heart. So I befriend him. And actually, what I do is I try to regularly meet with the Carls, maybe two or three times a year, take them out for breakfast, take them out for lunch, and interact with them and pick their brain and give them access to my mind, get access into their thoughts as well. So befriend them. Genuinely listen to them. And I mean that sincerely. You genuinely listen to them, because they're also often a treasure of corporate memory.
Okay.
Meaning often the Carl the curmudgeons, they've earned their status. They've been around for a long time. And so they can tell you stories. And I'm fascinated by the Carl the curmudgeons, because I sit over breakfast with them and I'll say, so Carl, tell me about back in the 1960s. What was it like here? And they can tell you stories. Well, you know, Pastor so-and-so came, and or this leader was doing this and saying this, and then that caused this to happen and that to happen. And you're getting a treasure trove of information that helps you in your leadership. So befriend them.
Okay.
Second thing I would do is I would validate their concerns whenever possible. So we as leaders tend to be on the defensive all the time when we're with a difficult person. We tend to think, I've always got to defend what I'm saying, defend what I've done. I've learned to just lay down my shield sometimes and lay down my weapons and just listen to them. I don't have to feel the need to rebut everything they say.
Okay.
So sometimes it's just best to say, well, that's interesting. And in my mind, I can think of why they're wrong or how I could rebut it, but I've learned, what's the point? Sometimes it's just, you know, a soft answer turns away wrath,
sure.
Scripture says.
Yes.
So sometimes I just nod and say, well, that's interesting. Okay, well, tell me more. And I ask a lot of questions. So befriend them, sincerely validate their concerns whenever possible. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, if they're clearly off the rails somewhere, nodding, sometimes I'll have to say, I'm gonna have to call you on that, Carl. I'm not sure you're really understanding what happened there, or why we did that, or did that, or did this, or did that. So there are times when you pick your spots when to rebut, but don't think you've got to rebut everything that they say.
Any other suggestions with dealing with the Carl the curmudgeons in our world?
Yeah. Whenever you can, give them some inside information, or give them a heads up whenever you can, without betraying board confidences or anything. But whenever you can, say, hey, Carl, I want to chat with you because there's some things I'm dealing with, things I'm working on, and there's a situation I'm facing, and what would you suggest that I do? From your experience of decades your experience, you know, is there a better way forward? Could you brainstorm with me for a couple of moments? And what are some of my blind spots? Can you help me here? And I'm sincere in this. I'm just not buttering this guy up. Carl, most Carl, they're curmudgeons. They have some chops. You know, they've got some gravitas, and it's worth listening to them. They can add value. These are difficult people who add value to your life. So sincerely listen to them. And whenever you can, give them some inside information. Here's what we're dealing with. Here's what I'm facing right now. Help me. Tell me what you think I should do. And if you can, whenever you can, incorporate or adjust your plans to at least respect their concerns or somehow respond to their concerns if you can.
It's been my experience that the curmudgeons in the church world are people that in a previous generation have been very invested in the life of the church. And so when you ask their opinion, ask how you should respond, I think you actually can get really good gold in there if your heart is humble and you're ready to receive it. I think it can be real gold.
Absolutely. One last thing.
Sure.
And to me, this is crucial. And that is you keep them accountable for their words and make yourself accountable to them for your words. I'll never forget years ago in another place I was serving and leading, there was a Carl the curmudgeon who I had realized, okay, he's a grizzly bear. He's not a grizzly bear. He's a teddy bear. And so I went out with him. I met him. He was a classic Carl. And he'd been there for many years. He had many people that he represented. And so I said, Carl, after the end of our meeting, I said, Carl, let's you and I have this understanding. I said, if I ever hear, I said, no, let me back it up. I said, Carl, let's you and I have this understanding that you will always come to me with your concerns first. Agreed? And he said, yes, Darren, I agree. I said, and if I have an issue with you, I will come to you first. Do you understand that? He said, I understand that, Darren. I said, so then, moving forward, if I ever hear someone say, Carl's is upset about this or Carl is upset about that, I can say to that person, that is not true. Because Carl promised me that he would come to me first if he had an issue. So Carl, can you and I have that understanding? Can we look each other in the eye and have that understanding? He said, we'll have that understanding, Pastor. Mm-hmm. And Carl, in the many years I was there, never once did he cause a concern or was his name used by others to throw stones at me because him and I had that understanding, that agreement that we would always go to each other first. So again, it's holding each other accountable. And I said the same to him, Carl, if you ever hear someone say, well, Pastor Darren said this about you or that about you, you can tell that person that's not true. That's a lie because Darren gave me his word. He would come to me first. And you can hold me accountable for that, Carl.
One of the ways to take out the tension in a relationship with a Carl the curmudgeon is to use what you're talking about, where you can simply tell that person, if you have any concerns, you can come directly to me and talk about that. And if you think about that, that's very validating for someone that might be in a position of being on a team or being a volunteer, that they can come to the pastor who's in charge. They can come to the manager in their workplace who's in charge and say, if you have a concern, you can come directly to me and talk about that. That would be incredibly validating and also very uplifting, I think, for them to feel that connection.
Absolutely.
This has been a great discussion so far, Pastor Darren, using these analogies of Toxic Tony and Carl the curmudgeon to help us deal with difficult people in our life. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast. A big thanks to our audio producer, Mr. Grant McAllister, for making everything sound great and for writing that cool jingle you'll hear at the beginning and the end. Remember, we do this podcast because when it comes to leadership, that'll do, just won't do. We'll see you next month.